I was writing paper on the PC, and it was like bleep, 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 bleep. And then, like, half of my paper was gone. And I was like, It devoured my paper. It was really good paper. And then I had to write it again, and I had to do it fast, so it wasn't as good. It's kind of a bummer. I'm Ellen Feist, and I'm a student.
Hello, and welcome to the cut. Great start. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast E-Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Joining me today, his favorite things include writing Apple books, new Coldplay albums, and headbutting unsuspecting pub patrons. Leander Kinney is here.
Okay. That's like all three of those are wrong, but whatever.
Also joining us, if you see him rifling through your bin on trash day, don't be alarmed. He's just looking for some lunch. Buster Kearney's here. Also with us, he's got the best gosh darn forearms in the entire Apple News business. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey!
Man, those things are good.
Oh, thanks.
Muscular.
Thanks for noticing.
Veiny. Veiny as heck. I notice things like that. Are they scarred? I didn't notice that.
From all the darts, you know, Lanny.
From fending off your opponent's darts.
Oh, man. He wouldn't believe it.
You're so hardcore. Well, here's what we got for y'all this week. Let me see. Where did my notes go? I hid them for myself. Oh, look at that. They're right in front of me. Here's what we got in the docket for you guys this week. We're going to tell you guys why hashtag Beautygate is undoubtedly the dumbest scandal in the entire history of iPhone. Leander doesn't think so. You actually think there's some legitimacy to this, don't you, Leander?
Yeah. It's debatable, yeah.
Is it? Really? Okay. We're going to tell you about something that I've been working on for a little while. I'm excited to announce it. It's called Cult Club. Imagine, if you will, a place where you can gather with other governors and governesses, put on your silk emblazoned cult cast robe, your fez, relax, have conversations with other cult cast listeners. That's what I'm talking about, Cult Club. I'm excited to tell you guys about it. Also, impressions of Apple Watch 4 and the iPhone XS Match, aka iPhone XS Max. Leander and Lewis both have the devices. They're going to tell us what they have experienced over the last week. And to justify my tirade last week about how Apple's cheaping out and only giving you 64 gigs of storage on the base iPhone XS, I'm going to tell you the true cost of the components in the XS Max. And I think you will be shocked at how cheap it is. And you will agree that my tirade last week was justified. Before we dive into all of the rigmarole, let me go ahead and say thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. The right hire can make a huge impact on your business. That's why it's so important to find the right person. But where do you find people of high caliber like myself, like Buster, like Lewis? You think we grow on trees? We don't. Instead of posting on job boards, to find the right person who will help you grow your business, you need to try out LinkedIn. As the world's largest professional network, people go to LinkedIn every single day to grow professionally and discover job opportunities. 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn Jobs matches people to your role based on who they really are, their skills, their interests, and how open they are to new opportunities. This way, your job gets seen by more of the right people, not El Caney's. Most LinkedIn members, that's a low blow. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited the top job boards, but 9 out of 10 members are open to new opportunities, so you can only reach them on LinkedIn. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. Businesses rate LinkedIn 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. If you're ready to build a world-class team like the one assembled here on this podcast, hurry to LinkedIn.com/cultcast. You can get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions do apply. Check it out at LinkedIn.com/cultcast. Where should we even begin this week? We'll talk about Beautygate in just a bit. Actually, before we start, let me just talk about Cult Club since we're already promoting some stuff. I'm very excited about this. I wanted to do this for a long time, and kind of finally I played around with it, spent some time figuring out what to do. I've always wanted to have a place where Cultcast listeners can hang out, can chat to one another, and discuss technology, Apple news, stories, your similar interests, because believe it or not, we all have a lot of similar interests. Just because we like Apple stuff, there's a lot of other stuff that we tend to like as well. And I get to converse with all of you on Twitter, which is great, but none of you get to talk to each other. And I've been doing this in a small fashion with a small group of Cultcast listeners for like the last year. And we were kind of going back and forth, and I said, hey, why don't we open this up to more people and see how it goes? So it's kind of an experiment, if you will. We'll see how it goes. But in my mind, I always see it as on a keynote day, everyone in there excited, talking to each other, bouncing ideas off each other, just hanging out. It sounds cool to me. And if that idea sounds like something you'd be interested in, we are reopening the quote unquote Cult Club memberships. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. But we had the room open for a little while, then we closed it. Well, now we're opening it back up again for a limited time. And I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. Come join the conversation. We're having a great time in there. It's just getting going. So if it sounds like something that you would like to partake of, do it quick, because I am going to close the memberships back down probably after 24 hours.
Boy.
So if you've heard this, you know, episode and like a week from now, well, sorry, it's too late. We're having fun and you can't join us. But I'll leave a link in the show notes so you guys can check it out. Leander, what were you saying?
Well, why shut it down so fast? Why don't you just open up for 10 minutes and then everyone can, like, you know, try to pile in and then shut it down?
That's not a bad idea, actually. I'll throw a pool cue into the middle of the room and then let them fight over the membership.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Why shut it down after 24 hours, though?
Well, you know, I want to keep it somewhat small, somewhat exclusive. We don't want hundreds of thousands of people, you know, just rolling in there at one time. We kind of want to, like, let people roll in. We'll get to know one another. And then we'll open it back up in stages. And if everyone just rolls in all at once, well, yeah, then you can't really get to know each other.
I see. Okay. Yeah,
good. It's a velvet rope.
Like, that's not a bad idea. Maybe you could do it, like, you know, for like a day after every Friday or whatever, you know, after.
Yeah,
the,
yeah. And if it, when we close it down again, we'll reopen it again. It's just a temporary closure, just so we can kind of get to know everyone, you know.
Like the velvet rope.
So everyone has a chance
thing.
To go to the governor's lounge, is where we're all hanging out. You get to put on your silk robe and your fez, the one that we've designated for you. It's embroidered with your name on it. You know, there's a locker room. We want to make sure people have time to get in there, get comfortable, and to know each other and put on their robes and their hats.
Cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
It sounds like totally your style, too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Silk robes,
I'll be there.
Fezzes.
Cigars.
Yeah, we're thinking about programming an El Caney bot, too, to interact with us when you're not there, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we can talk about that after the show. Should we just dive right into thoughts on Apple Watch Series 4? I unfortunately don't have mine because Apple didn't... when I ordered it from Apple, the shipping time was like October something. And I got in there right away. So I don't know what happened, but I ended up canceling that order and ordering from B&H. Because they said that they were going to be shipping them out when the watch launched, but I misread that. They said it was back ordered, so I don't even know when I'm getting my Apple Watch now. So you
guys
just had yours already.
Pick it up.
I did. I went to the Apple store this last weekend. They didn't have a single one in stock.
Yes.
Wow.
I bet you did that though, didn't you, Buster?
I have not gotten one yet. No.
Okay.
I need
they
to.
They are hot right now. They are.
Are you
not
just
going to
chuck yours
in
the lake the first minute you get it, Buster?
Yeah. I'm going to try to get a really solid band that stays on my wrist this time. So.
I wonder where you could find one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Oh, I heard Colton Mac has a store for such things, but I would never send my money to Leander.
Nice answer.
Yeah, good idea. That guy sucks. He's just going to spend it on booze. Don't encourage him.
Well, I don't see it. It goes all to salaries and keeps the servers running.
That's a good point. You should put it back. Just take it out of your left pocket, put it into your right pocket. How about that? And Leander will send you a free band. It's pretty much the same thing.
There you go.
All right. So I did go to the Apple store. I did wear one though. And I have to admit, I was a little on the fence. I was, my excitement was tempered when I got to see the Apple Watch, because even though it is a beautiful watch, it doesn't necessarily look beautiful on me. I didn't really like the way it looked on my wrist. I'm still buying one because I want to have a longer experience with it, but I was surprised by that. Yep. My arm is extraordinarily hairy, and it got lost in the forest. Yeah, so I couldn't even see the screen. But it was interesting. It was an interesting
experience. What do you mean you didn't like it on your arm?
I didn't like it on my wrist, yeah.
What are you talking about?
I wouldn't say I loved it. I don't know. This was a fleeting impression. I only had mere moments with the watch because I was getting bumped around. Everyone was trying to see it. And this Apple store, they had like 3 watches you could actually look at. I'm like, dude, you just launched this thing. All the watches that they had out were dummies. They were literally glued to the stands. You couldn't even get them off so that you could look at them. I'm like, everyone is here to see this hot new gadget, and you're only showing 3? I mean, what is wrong with you people? This is like a Steve Ballmer move. This is not an Apple move.
You sure you were in an actual Apple store? It wasn't in somebody's trunk, was it?
Well, I mean, yeah. Isn't that where your Apple store operates out of? Is out of the back of an Impala? There's mariachi music playing in the background. Was that not the Apple store? Anyway, I'm still buying one, but I don't have mine yet. So, Leander, Lewis, I know you guys have yours. You've had a week with it now. And Lewis, you weren't even planning on buying one, but as I knew you would, you fell in love. You were romanticized the moment you walked in. You saw it from across the room. You made googly eyes at it. You made that little kissy thing that you do with your mouth. And then you bought one. You walked home with one. Which one did you get, first of all?
I didn't actually. I bought 2.
Oh. Hey, wait. Didn't I say that was a possible scenario last show? I think I did.
Nostradamus.
Like, your wife's going to get one, and I'm like, you're going to end up with one, too.
Yeah, I had to. You know, it's absolutely certain I did not plan on buying one. I went in to pick up my iPhone XS, and I looked at this thing, and it's like, oh, my God. If you haven't been to the store to see one, I don't think you can't really comprehend the difference. It's basically the same size on your wrist as the previous model, but the screen is like, it just seems almost twice as big or something. The small size, the screen looks as big as the old big size, and it's just brighter and better and everything. And I'll tell you what, man, the wife and I were there picking up our phones, and it's like, you guys got these in stock? Yeah, okay, we'll take them. I mean, it was just that fast. It took like...
I can't believe your store had
them
in stock.
Like,
that's amazing.
10 seconds. We're like, I can't help it. Another thing that... One of the things that made me do it was they gave me like $225 for my old Apple Watch right there on the spot. So, you know, I mean,
so how much you bought the Apple Watch for in the first place?
What's that?
Well, $600.
I bought it used for $300. They gave me $225 for it, and
You're
that was
kidding.
Without the band or the charger. So I'm like, I got to do. You know, the prices are going to drop. I got to do this now. I want this immediately, and I did. You know, so okay, great. And you know what? I love it. And I've run into a few people, and they're like, oh yeah, okay, great. One guy who had a one of the original ones, a Series 0, which is what my wife was wearing prior to this, and. He goes, yeah, I think I might get one. I don't know. I'm not sure. I said, well, you've had that one for a while, right? He says, yeah, I had it from the very beginning. I wear it to Burning Man every year. I don't think I'll get much money for it. I'm like, well, do you like it? He goes, yeah, I really like it. I'm like, okay, well, you got to get a Series 4 because, and I go, check this out. You know how, like, when you press something in an app and then you wait, it spins, you see that little thing going,
dude,
as it
so
tries
bad.
And tries and
it's
tries
so
to do
bad.
Something. I go, look at this. I pressed on the little icon for the elliptical workout. I pressed the thing, and it says ready and starts. I mean, it's instant. It's the way the thing is supposed to work. You know what I mean? It's this is the device that you had in mind when you heard about the Apple Watch. This is the way it always should have worked. I mean, you know,
that's
I realized,
what I said last show.
Well, okay,
that's exactly right.
And it's true. It is true.
The Zero is so bad. I was trying to use Siri on it the other day. Hopeless. Doesn't work at all. Couldn't even connect to my phone. I was trying to use it to unlock my HomeKit lock. And it took like 10 minutes. Yeah, I finally just gave up.
You know what? Things like that, that's another a weird side effect or whatever. The HomeKit stuff works way faster. Everything works faster with this. And so this has better Bluetooth than the older models. I mean, honestly, if you like any Apple Watch, I mean, I moved up from the Series 3, which I thought was fine. And it is a good watch, but the difference is kind of startling.
The screen on it is so stunning too. And I also love that you can just bring up the watch and immediately start speaking to Siri. Mm-hmm. That is really helpful for setting timers, doing little tasks, and then also especially for HomeKit, because you could be getting home and you could just lift it up and say, unlock the door, and it will do it for you instead of having to wait.
I got a good tip for that too.
Well, tell us about it.
Bring it right up to your mouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it works a lot better.
So is yours covered with little
saliva?
That's the one thing that hasn't worked so well for me. But you know what? I think you're right. I just put it right up to my mouth, and there it is, waiting for me to talk. So is it a proximity sensor or something?
I don't know. It eliminates, you know, any kind of, you know, confusion, I guess. You know, the chance of it not hearing you or mishearing what you say is really reduced. You know, like, if you bring it right up to your mouth, even though it looks a bit ridiculous, actually it doesn't look that bad because it's kind of Dick Tracy-like. But, you know, before I used to, like, sort of bring it up a bit and I would, like, sort of yell at it from halfway across the room. But if you bring it right up to your gob, then it works a lot better.
Bring it up to your gob. I'm assuming you mean mouth.
Yeah.
All right, Leander, what do you think about yours? And well, let me ask Lewis, which one did you get again?
The big one, the 44.
For what color?
Silver. I got the cheap one, you know, the sport yeah. Silver aluminum one.
Well, none of them are cheap. Jeez.
I don't need the stainless steel one. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That a year or two from now it's gonna have another chip that's gonna make this one seem like molasses.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't understand people that buy the really expensive ones, but
are the Hermes, like $1,500 edition watches, exactly. Because in a year, it's outdated. Okay, yeah. Leander, what did you get, and how do you like it?
Yeah, I got the same one. It's the 44 millimeter with LTE, and I'm really into it. I really, really like it. I really, really, really like it. And I like it so much that, you know, I'm actually finally going to learn how to use it properly for the first time. Because, you know, I got to admit, like like you were saying earlier, you know, like if something didn't work, Siri didn't work, I'd be like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to use my phone.
Yeah. Right.
And I really didn't use it to its full potential, but I've really been like digging into this thing and really, you know, because it's actually an alternative, you know, to the phone. I mean, it really is you could do a lot of stuff you can do on your phone. You can do with your watch now, and I'm just, you know, like sort of blown away by the functionality of it and things like, you know, paying for things. It's just easier on the watch. It's so easy. It's easier than digging your phone out because it's right there. But of course, you know, I wasn't in that mindset, right? You know, like I didn't sort of remember, oh yeah, I can pay with my watch. Plus, I felt kind of like an idiot. You know, I still kind of, there's a little bit of a social stigma to it, I think.
Of paying with your watch?
Yeah, a little bit. Even here in San Francisco, the kind of places I go to. I totally made that up. But I don't know. I just feel a little bit self-conscious sometimes, like a bit showy.
Sometimes it's kind of awkward too, right? Like bending your wrist to get it at the right angle or whatever. I don't know.
No, not really. I mean, just it's right there. You know, you just put your foot, you put it right there. I was also like a little bit, I gotta admit, like a little bit concerned that it wouldn't work and I look like an idiot.
And all the clerks would start laughing and pointing at you. And
yeah, because they used to do that. They laughed at me at Whole Foods one time when I tried to pay. Yeah,
it doesn't work with a watch.
Look at this guy. So
did you laugh right back?
No, I slunked off.
Did they get on the intercom?
Come see the idiots on check out stand 3.
Right, and then they pulled the security cameras, and it was on Twitter and all that. Uploaded it
to YouTube.
Yeah.
Man, they're harsh. That's San Francisco Whole Foods.
But I took it out all day Saturday when I was on my bike, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do everything on my phone. So I was tracking the ride on the bike. And actually, there was a couple of glitches. I don't know if we want to get into this now, but...
Sure, go for it.
Well, it dropped the GPS, and so not very far, just a few miles after I left the house. But it managed to track the entire ride, even without the GPS, using, I forget what the name of the, it tracked the ride pretty well. And it's really, really accurate, despite the GPS signal dropping off. And I don't know why it did that. So
and you went out without your phone, just the watch.
Well, I had my phone in my pocket, but I didn't use the phone. Because I was also trying to test the phone at the same time. So I took a bunch of pictures on the...
You took the Max with you on your ride?
I did, yeah.
Oh my gosh, how did that go?
That was fine. Yeah, that was fine. But I didn't use
it.
Where did you keep it? I didn't use it, huh?
Where did you keep it?
In my pocket.
In your pants pocket?
What?
Didn't it hurt?
And I got I was wearing a jacket. You just took it in a jacket pocket.
Oh, okay.
It's not that onerous.
I thought you had it in like your jeans pocket and you bend over and it's like,
No. I was on, you know, I was
looking at your kibbles and bits.
I have all that ridiculous lycra. I'm a mammal, you know, middle aged man in lycra. But I stream music. I stream some podcasts. Okay. I use it to track the ride. It tracked my heartbeat the whole way. And the funny thing is, it was like a 6-hour ride, and it lasted the whole 6 hours, even though it was only 85% charged. So the battery life on it is pretty good. I was really impressed with it. I really like it. I really, really, really want to, I'm going to get a whole, I want to do it. Like, Lewis is really the master because he uses it for all this HomeKit stuff.
Yeah.
I'm inspired to do that too.
Six-hour ride too. My gosh.
Yeah. Well, I was pootling around a bit, like
iron taint.
I was, because I stopped and took some pictures of the camera, and then I was messing around with the watch and the phone. So I was, I wasn't like speeding around, but it was a pretty good, it was a really great ride. Beautiful day for it.
What's the one standout feature for both of you guys? The one that you're like, wow, this is really the one that I fell in love with.
Oh, man. I'd have to say it's the speed because, it works. It just works. Everything I go to do with it works. I touch the screen. It happens. That's, it's kind of sad to say that, but it's sort of revolutionary,
Cause even more so than the Series 3?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely faster. And, the screen is awesome. That's maybe the thing that hooked me on it, because it really is so much bigger and brighter. And if you saw it, but all in all, if it's not side by side, it's like, it's like anything else. It doesn't look that much bright. You can't, if you don't have anything to compare it to, it doesn't seem brighter. It just looks great, right? But the speed is... I'm like a speed freak, man. It's like the thing I always get back to. But these things, if you sit around waiting on them, they're annoying, and you don't have to wait on the watch anymore.
Well, that is a revelation.
It is. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing because Lewis is exactly right. I mean, it makes it really usable. Because Lewis already said that. One of the things I start to like is actually the honeycomb home screen. Where a little apps are. Like, people used to hate that thing. I used to hate it too because I was always hunting around looking for the apps. But of course, I wasn't using it.
Yeah.
But now that I've started using it, it's like I know where the app is and the honeycomb, so I can go straight to it usually.
And the app icons are bigger now.
That's what I was going to say. And they move more smoothly. Everything about it is just better than it ever has been. And I really didn't think it was going to be that big of a difference. I watched the keynote. I was... impressed and hopeful, but I just wasn't prepared for it to be as much better as it is.
Oh, baby, now I'm excited again.
I'm
gonna strap that thing on. Oh yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking at it more from a practical perspective now, because again, I put it on my wrist and I was like, ooh, I don't know, especially because I was gonna go for the silver one with the sea coral strap. I think that's what they call it, the sport loop. But I saw the color in person. Oh yay. It's way too light gray for me. Couldn't do it. I wish they would let you choose the strap that you want. Why don't they let you choose the strap?
It's really true. You know why they don't do that? It's so you'll buy a new strap.
Oh, that's exactly it. You nailed it.
The cheapest, the most affordable watches have the sort of, dumpiest looking bands. And I got the same thing you were looking at. I'm not crazy about that look, and I haven't swapped it out yet just because it's kind of comfortable. But, it's for sure. That's it. It the one thing that was annoying as hell about buying this in San Francisco, where they had, unlike you, where they had, I guess, three only, they had like, 40 of them sprawled out there, and people were shuffling them around and they have this long row of them in the case, right? But they don't say like, oh, this is the sport model. This is this model. It's just sort of like, look at all these watches. And even the people who work there are kind of like, I don't know which one that is. It's confusing. It's totally confusing. It's elegant, but it's confusing. And so it becomes difficult to see, like, okay, well, the wife wants the 40 millimeter size, but what color band can she get without the LTE and the this and the that? And it's like, it comes down to like, there's one or two models, right? And do they have that in stock? Don't get me started on that. That was the only part about my experience that was annoying, other than the fact they made me stand in line even after I had been in line.
They made you stand in line?
Yeah, they wouldn't just hand me
the
watch.
Do they know who you are? Did you tell them who you are? No, did you tell them that you know me?
I failed to bring that up. But the thing that's, so we go there, we get in line, we buy the phones, and then when we're all done with that, which kind of took a long time, We say, hey, so do you actually have the watch in stock? They're like, yeah, just go. There's no line. Just go over and get in line and you know, get one. And we go over there and like, okay, yeah, we can sign you up to get one. You have to come back in an hour. Like, what?
What?
Yeah, it was very odd. I think it's because they wanted us to start it up there in the store. And in the end, it was good because I was able to trade the watch in. And I wanted to get that over with because I was afraid the price was going to plummet before I managed to complete the transaction. But yeah. So that was a little bit goofy. But anyway, Apple, just, you know, maybe, I don't know, a sign that says these are the sport watches. These are the steel ones. These ones have LTE. These don't. I mean, I realize that if you stare at them long enough, you can figure it out. But when you're just there and there's 15 people trying to look at the same things, that was not an elegant experience.
Okay. Well, Leander, what about the iPhone tennis match? The new phone, the hot new phone. You have it in your pocket. Boy, I saw that one in the store. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe what I was saying. I almost bought it. I'm still thinking about it. Every day, I go into the app, and I'm like, do they have them in stock yet? And they got them in stock today.
They did?
That max screen. Yeah, they have them in stock in my local Apple store now, at least the one that I want. That max screen, ooh, baby. It looks so big and beautiful. Actually, the funny thing is, and I put this on Twitter, I walked into the store thinking I could live without the iPhone XS Match, and I really want the Apple Watch, and I walked out feeling the exact opposite. I'm like, I can live without the watch, but I really need the tennis match because it's so big and beautiful. You've had it. How are you liking it so far?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. It's actually, you know, one of the so I wrote this this sort of, you know, the XS Max in a nutshell. You know, a quick sort of encapsulated review, just like some quick points that I thought about it that I thought worth mentioning. And one of the things is that, you know, the screen is so big, but the phone doesn't seem as big as it is. You know, like it seems like it should be bigger, especially coming from like the old plus sizes. Mm-hmm. The old plus sizes seem kind of, you know, big and a little bit unwieldy. And this comes across as really, really sort of, I was amazed at how thin it is, how thin it feels. Mm-hmm. And it's quite light and it's really not that unwieldy.
You don't find that it's too heavy? Because I saw several people online say it actually feels like it might be too heavy.
No, not at all. No, I didn't think of that at all. The only time I notice this is when I put it in my back jeans pocket, you know, when I put it in my pants.
Yeah.
Because it just feels a bit bigger than the old 10, but, you know, using it, I haven't felt that it was too big at all.
Okay. What else do you love about it?
And like I said, the screen, well, it's super fast, like Lewis was saying about the watch. Like, the phone is super, super fast. Everything's super instantaneous. It's really, really fast. In fact, did you see that benchmark? Someone did a benchmark against the iMac Pro, and it actually does Java, some Java rendering.
I think it was like a JavaScript test.
Yeah.
And it was faster than like the iMac Pro.
Right, and it was like twice as fast as like the latest MacBooks. Not MacBook Pros, insane. Latest MacBooks. And it's three times as fast as like Samsung's, you know, latest phones.
Well, that's not a surprise.
Right. They're so far ahead in the chips, it's bonkers. It's really bad. Crazy.
Yeah, it kind of makes you start thinking about what if Apple does start putting their own chips in a MacBook Pro. You know what I mean? In the future?
Yeah, right. Well, they're going to be there in a couple of years, I think, for sure.
All right, what else you got for us?
Well, the camera, of course, is great. Like, and I like especially, like, it's really magical when you play around with that, the depth control. Yeah, that really is crazy and special. The bokeh, it really looks good. Although actually, I was just looking at a couple of test pictures, and I noticed some weird artifacts. Hmm. You know, because it's the software. I think it didn't do a good job with disconnecting something in the foreground to the background. But like, that was in less than ideal conditions though. Like, I was indoors with some sunlight streaming through the window, and it was against that sunlight streaming through the window, so it was sort of blowing it out and creating a silhouette of whatever I was trying to take in the foreground. But out in the sun, you know, I took some pictures of some flowers and some houseboats out in Sausalito. Really, really beautiful. Like, amazing looking pictures, especially that smart HDR. Mm-hmm. Because it really brings out this in the shadows, you know, like you can see all this detail in the shadows. And sometimes it's almost a little bit trippy. Hmm. You know, it's like, because you can see so much detail throughout the whole of the picture. But it, you know, it doesn't blow it out. It does a really great job of balancing it, you know, so the highlights don't get blown out. I was taking, pictures like in the afternoon, and it was like a strong sunny day here in California. So the sun is really shining brightly, you know, and it really shines brightly off of some things. Like, you know, I was taking some pictures of houseboats out in Sausalito. And you get reflections off the water and reflections off the houseboats. But then the shadows, you can see everything that's going on in the shadows, too. So they're really crazy-looking pictures.
I was actually really surprised by what I was seeing online. I've seen a lot of examples of people comparing the 10 to the 10S. It's a dramatic difference, for sure. So much more details in the shadows. The highlights aren't overblown. They bring the details out of those. And it's a dramatic difference that they didn't emphasize as much as they probably should have at the keynote, I think. Because this is probably the marquee feature of the 10S, in my opinion, especially if you don't get the Max, is the camera seems to be markedly better than the one in the 10.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I saw the same thing. Like some people are saying, you know, who are a lot more knowledgeable than me, that it's a totally different camera. It's a much, much better camera.
In fact, it's so good, people are saying that it might be too good. We'll talk about that here
right
in a second. That's the complaint this year. It's too good. Hashtag BeautyGate. Okay. And the big screen, you love it. It's so big. It's so clear.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, you hold up to your, you know, you're watching videos, and you can. It's like seeing right up close to the big TV. In fact, you know, if I was a kid, my parents would be warning me, "Don't get too close to the TV."
Don't get too close to the TV. You're like, it's my phone.
Gonna ruin your eyes. Yeah, you know, it's nice to have the extra, screen space. For doing all kinds of things, you know, there's, you know, almost in every situation. I can't think of one situation where it's not better to have a bigger screen. But you know, I think people are worried about the size. But that's what surprised me about the size. You know, is that it's not too big. It actually sort of feels smaller than the Plus phones.
And I think it is slightly smaller, but only slightly.
Only slightly, yeah. But it just that feel, that sort of subjective feel.
Yeah.
And in fact, so I don't even want to put a case on it. Like, I don't want to wreck it with a case.
So I
was looking at my old 10, and even though I had that in a case, I dropped it a bunch of times, but it doesn't have a scratch on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, Apple's saying that Gorilla Glass is the strongest they've ever put in it, and this thing's, you know, really sturdy. So I'm like...
But it's like $350 to replace it if you break it.
Yeah, right. Well,
you have the Apple Care.
Don't you?
I don't have Apple Care, no.
Oh, you don't have Apple Care.
Yeah, definitely don't.
Did you just buy the phone outright?
Yeah. What?
Did you just straight up buy the phone full price and just pay for it? Oh, yeah. Okay, because I'm thinking about doing the iPhone upgrade program, and you know that includes Apple Care. But I always keep mine in a case. I would never use an iPhone without a case. I've dropped mine way too many times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the upgrade program, Lewis is doing that too, and you know, like the built-in Apple Care. That's a really good deal. That's a really good idea.
I mean, they basically are charging you for the Apple Care. They charge you, I think, $9 a month for it. So they're not giving it to you for free. I think you do get like a slight discount on it, but for the most part, they're just taking the Apple Care over the cost.
That's really shocking, giving Apple.
Yeah, 2 years, and they're just, you know. I mean, I would think they would give you a little bit of a discount and just say, hey, you know, you're going through Apple here. We'll mark down Apple Care, you know, 30% for you and just spread it out over 2 years. But no, they're not going to do that. And you're right. They would probably never do that. That's just a crazy pipe dream. Okay, so you're thinking about going caseless. So RIP, Leander's phone. It will be broken.
Next week I'll be crying.
I remember how I was thinking. I think this is when I got my iPhone 7 Plus. I was thinking the same thing you were. I was like, you know what? I never drop my phone. I'm so careful. There's really no point. And then in the first week, I went to the pool and I was taking my pants off. And the phone shot out of my pocket at the speed of sound. I think I heard a small sonic boom and hit the concrete floor below. And that's when I knew, okay, I need to put a case on this thing. Because no matter how careful you are, things like this happen.
Yeah.
And the phone, and it's trying to kill itself. It's like it's been programmed.
If there's no case on it, just shoot out
of your pocket at the last second and
I've
hit the ground.
I've never had one without a case. So I just wanted to enjoy it caseless. Yeah. You know? I just want to see what it was like.
It's been like since the original iPhone or like the iPhone 3G that I've not had a case on it. And I remember that being so nice.
Listen to who this advice is coming from.
Well, yeah, Buster now I always has broken have a case, and I still break my iPhones even when I have a case on it. So,
I think the best compromise is again, it's a bumper case, true bumper case. I'll plug the Rhino Shield Crash Guard again. They make really good, honest to goodness bumper cases with no backs on them. Everyone calls bumper cases Well, everyone has a bumper case these days, but they all have backs, and that is not actually what a bumper case is. And these things, they drop them off of like 12-foot ladders and stuff. They provide a lot of protection, even though they're actually bumpers. They have a nice lip on the front and the back. And I've dropped mine plenty of times. It's kept my phone safe this entire time. So
I don't believe this.
If I get the tennis match, I'm going with another one of these same cases. And I might just get one of these. I don't know if I could resist. I was like same. In there thinking I'm going to be making this payment every month anyway. Lewis, you were on my shoulder sitting there. Yeah.
What's an
saying,
extra $50, extra $60?
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to be paying this anyway. You were sitting there in your red outfit with your long tail.
Bye,
you know?
Bye.
And on my left shoulder was my better self saying, you don't need it. But that screen, Leander. Ooh, baby. I licked it when I was in the store. They had to escort me out.
They love that, yeah.
Yeah. I just gave it a big lick right up, like the full length of the phone. And I did it real slow, and I made eye contact with the manager the whole time. I'm banned from the store, but it was quite an experience, and it made me want one of those phones so badly because that screen, that plus-size screen buster.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Ooh. I went and saw them, too, and I'm kind of in the same boat. I'll probably end up buying it because...
What iPhone do you have now?
The X, which...
Oh, you have the 10.
Yeah, I don't need it, but... You know, everybody says that camera is so much better, and I use my iPhone as my main camera, so I'm like, oh, I need it now.
Well, it is pretty good. Yeah. It is pretty good. Speaking
it's
of...
It's also faster.
Yeah.
The performance difference
say, though,
is pretty shocking.
Would you say, though, that it's noticeably faster? Is it noticeably faster than the 10?
Yeah.
And
you think so?
I didn't want to upgrade to the 10 because I wanted, like, a plus-size iPhone 10 design. So now I'm like, oh, that's what I was wanting last year. And I tried to hold out, but I couldn't hold out.
I have to say, though, the 10 has grown on me a lot over the last year. I really have grown to love this phone. And it might be, I think I said this last week, it might be my favorite iPhone ever. The form factor, the Face ID, what a revelation that has been. That's completely changed the way that I have come to relate to my device. I love it. I miss it when I don't have it on my iPad.
Yeah,
but
right.
Anyway, let's talk about the big controversy here. They got to come up with a gate every year. Everyone's looking for the gate so that they can get those YouTube clicks. And this year, the gate is Beauty Gate. And if you guys don't know anything about this, I'll just fill you in. People are saying that Apple has applied too much of a filter on the front-facing camera to the photos that are coming out of the iPhone. They're making people's faces look airier, brighter, softer.
Prettier.
People are posting prettier, essentially. It's like making your cheek. I swear to you, I saw a picture, Unbox Therapy, Lewis Helsentaker did a video on this, and he posted a picture from the 10 and the 10S, and like the 10S, like his cheeks were like rosy, his eyes were brighter, his complexion looked great, and the 10, the lighting looked harsher, he had these big bags under his eyes, he had shadows on his face, and his point was, Apple is applying some type of like beauty filter to people's faces, and some people are saying that that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's a horrible thing.
Well, okay. Every camera manufacturer is opinionated. They all have science that goes into calculating what the images look like. And the funny thing is many people choose Canon cameras because they love their color science so much. So it's funny to me to hear people pursue Canon because it creates beautiful images, but then criticize Apple for doing the exact same thing.
Yeah,
because everyone wants to
different.
Look good in their photos, right?
But this is
do you want to wake up and take a photo and look like Buster on a spring morning?
Yes.
Or do you want to look like El Caney after a long night of drinking? Which photo do you want to look like?
But it's not like
I'm choosing the former.
Canon's color science isn't like touching up your face, though. It just looks really good. Whereas these, it's like portraying an image that isn't exactly real. And you can go back and edit somebody's face in, you know, photo editing apps later if that's the look you want to give off. So, personally, I would be annoyed by this because it just wouldn't be real. And I want photos that are real, you know?
Real, Real is so subjective. What is real?
Real is...
I mean, do you... Well, in 10 wrinkles. Years, do you want to look back at a picture and be like, damn, I looked good? No. I mean, it's not like you're taking a picture and it's adding a six-pack.
No, but...
You know, it's like it's just softening your facial features a little
bit.
Yeah,
but that's still bad to me. Like, I want it to be... Like, I want the wrinkles because that's a more accurate representation. Like, that's you what photography grizzled. Is. Like, that... Like, otherwise, it's just, like, digital art.
That's like part of your brand is that real wrinkly grizzled look. See, my brand is like he's soft, he's so pretty, he lives in the city, so I'm like happy with the softening effect. But seriously, you say that it shouldn't be part of what Apple does. But again, every camera creator does this. I mean, Fujifilm that camera
they don't edit your face. They just have different color sciences is what you're talking about.
No, but they do. But they do the way they process. The way the light bounces off your face, the softening, the sharpness, the shadows, the levels of highlights, all of those things play into how your face looks. Now, if Apple is like removing zits off your face, that's one thing.
That's what I think people are complaining about is like there's, you know, like people's faces look smoother and prettier, right?
Yes, but that could simply be an effect of the lens. That could be an effect of the way the software is processing the image that comes off the lens. Because, for instance, when I take portraits, so I have been taking photographs for like 10, 15 years. When you take a picture, if you crank up the aperture, like if you make the aperture really small, right? So if you go to like F8, it's going to show all the features on someone's face. It's going to show wrinkles. It's going to show zits. It's going to show, mustaches. And there's all sorts of stuff that you don't really want to see in sharp focus. But if you take the aperture and make it soft, if you make it large, it's going to allow more light to reflect off the face. And it's going to minimize the effects of wrinkles, the effects of blemishes. And so it really kind of what am I trying to say here? I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that Apple is trying to dial out your facial imperfections. It could just be the effect of the aperture. It could be the effect of the lens. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're trying to beautify you. Now, maybe they are. Maybe they are. And I think if they are, I still think it's okay.
I've heard some people saying that you can tell that they are based on, because of the face detection technology. Like, if you're zoomed in super close and they can't detect the face, then it doesn't look like that. But then if you, like, pull the camera out and then you see that it's identified the face, it's touching up the face.
It's like it activates like the beauty feature.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I mean, Snapchat has that filter. Instagram has that filter. It's not like it's really hard for Apple to do that, to add some like, you know, softening features for faces. Yeah. And maybe they did think that would be a great thing. But personally, I would like to be able to turn that off.
See, that's funny because even if you're right and it is something that they're doing on purpose via the software, I'm still like, who cares? Everyone wants to look good in their photographs. I mean, imagine, Leander. A filter that takes your face in the morning and just eliminates all the wrinkles, all the blemishes. It like erases the night of drinking that you did before and just makes you look fresh like a young lad.
Like, like the magic mirror in Sleeping Beauty.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, is that not a feature that you would enjoy?
I don't know. See, I actively avoid the mirror.
But now you won't have to.
I don't want to be. I mean, you might have a good point. Yeah. See, I've only taken like about 2 selfies my entire life. I think, you know, I think you're probably right. I probably would like something like that made me look a lot better.
I think I understand your point, Buster, and I can see why some people wouldn't want this. But I think that if Apple did implement something like this, it's probably because most people like when they look like the results that I've seen from the XS. It creates beautiful front-facing selfies. Really, really soft and bright and airy. I mean, all the things that I try to do to a person's face in Lightroom or in Photoshop, it does automatically. Again, this is one of the reasons why I love my my Fuji X-T1, is because I feel like it does kind of some of these things for me. It has these different modes that you can switch to that make you look better than you would in real life. And again, real life is subjective. It's like it's like a microphone, right? Every microphone makes your voice sound a little bit different. They all have opinions. They all have engineering that goes in to eliminate certain parts of your voice, to crank up other parts. Cameras are the exact same way. They all deal with light differently. They all deal with reflection differently, aperture differently. And so, you know, that's like, what is real life? I choose to believe it's what Apple makes me look like.
Existential crisis here, huh?
I think they do need to add a six pack filter.
We can never know what truth is anyway, so.
Exactly. I don't want to know what the truth is. Just make me look good. That's my motto.
Well, I need to filter
Lewis.
What's that?
Lewis was sleeping.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I said, if you have the opportunity to look beautiful in your photos, isn't that what the way you want to be remembered, Lewis?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, good luck, Apple. That's all I can say. Try and fix this face up.
You're like, you take a picture and you're like, oh, this iPhone's getting awfully hot. It's going to take a few seconds for it to process your face and make it look beautiful. I don't know. I just don't think this is a big deal, but... You got to have a Gates, and the Gates blow up, don't they? People love hearing about the Gates. Oh. But I think this is the dumbest, the lamest gate that we've ever seen on the iPhone. Anyone disagree with that?
I can't remember what last year's gate was, but there's always a gate every year. And real one was like Antenna Gate and Ben Gate. Those were the only two that were legit.
Ben Gate was definitely the worst. I don't think the iPhone 10 had a gate, did it? It was gateless.
I guarantee you we can pull something up in the cult of Mac archives.
Price tag gate?
Yeah.
I seem to remember us mentioning on the show how surprised we were that it didn't actually have a gate.
Oh, there's Green Line of Death on the iPhone X 10 when it launched. That was.
I don't remember that one.
That was one of them.
Okay, well, am I beating a dead horse here? Should we move on?
Well, no, I think it's interesting because, you know, there actually haven't been a couple of gates over there for a couple of years, and I was going to say the same thing, that there's no major gate for this one.
And if this is truly their gate, it's like, oh, my phone's making me look too good in my selfies. I look too good?
People were complaining about slowdowns in LTE and Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that was another one for the XS and XS Max.
Right.
That's something they're going to dial out, though, you know, for sure. Yeah. Because everyone else is talking about how dramatically faster the LTE is. I've seen some tests of people getting like 225 megabits per second.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Not on Verizon in San Francisco.
Yeah, probably nowhere in San Francisco. Jeez. Remember when the iPhone first came out and like you couldn't even go to a place where other people were in order to use your iPhone? Right. If you went to a convention or something, you couldn't even make phone calls or send text messages. They'd have to like drive like a signal truck to like a convention so that people could use their phones. Right, the cows, exactly.
Yeah,
we've come so far since then.
Right. The big blackout at South by Southwest back in 2010.
The big blackout of 2010, I remember that.
It's crazy.
It's terrible. I couldn't even send selfies to my friends of me hanging out with like Pete Cashmore. It's very sad. Whatever happened to Pete Cashmore?
I don't know. He sold an Ashbowl and ran like a smart
I don't know,
person.
Man, but that guy, he's got the best jawline in the biz. Holy moly. I saw that thing in person. I was like, you go, girl. That thing is strong as heck. No wonder you made millions based on that alone. I don't know where I'm going with that. Okay, let me wrap up with this. The iPhone XS Max production cost is shockingly low. Now, this only shows us the cost of the actual components. And I know there are going to be people rolling their eyes and saying, oh man, you didn't take into account marketing and Tim Cook's salary and Johnny Ive's whiskey bill and all the other things that go into making an iPhone. I get that. But I think that this, for me, just affirms my tirade from last show that Apple could afford to bump up the bottom iPhone model from 64 gigs to 128. They could do it, but they're not doing it because it's working. They're getting people to buy the 256 gigabyte version of the iPhone and spend more money. So here's the story. Analysis firm Tech Insights did a teardown of the iPhone XS Max. I think they do this every year. And that's reportedly the most popular version of the new iPhone. Well, of course it is, because people, you know, want to spend the extra money to get the space. As part of the teardown, Tech Insights estimated the cost for each component. The total for the $1,250 iPhone XS Max, $443, Lewis.
That's a pretty impressive spread.
That's a big old spread. That's a lot of profit. Well, again, there are clearly other things that go into the cost of a phone than just the hardware, research and development, yada, yada, yada. So what? Could they not drop another 25 bones 25 ducats and give you 128 gigabytes of memory of storage, I mean. So let's see here. I think I saw that the cost of memory was maybe the most expensive part of the phone this year. Memory prices have been increasing for whatever reason, and they said that the 256 gigabyte module in the XS Max cost Apple $65. So how much do you think 112 gigabyte version costs? I don't know, 40 maybe? I'm guessing. We're talking about like a difference of like, you know, $30-$40 in cost maybe at a max.
Yeah, well,
did I just prove my point from last show?
How many do they sell? You know, I mean, a million times 40?
A bazillion.
10
a
million bazillion. Times 40?
Okay,
$400
well,
million dollar difference? I mean, I don't know. That pays for a lot of engineer salaries.
Well, they're just going to put in a bank account anyway, Lewis. They got how much in the bank? $270 billion?
Well, yeah, I mean, jeez. I mean, everything. You buy how much do you think a watch band costs to make, and you pay $100 for it? You think it costs $90 to make? No, it costs a lot of money. Everybody, I mean, you have to mark these things up because you have hard costs of doing business.
Lander's over there, and he's doing that thing with his hand across his neck where he's like, do not talk about the cost of watch bands. Do not talk about the cost of watch bands, Lewis.
I thought about that even as I started the sentence.
He's like, the bands are $85, and we sell them for $90.
Lewis is totally right. I mean, these things are hogwash. You know, like they look it up, and they say, what are the wholesale prices of these various components? And they add them up, and they don't take into account all of the other costs that Apple has. But you know how much hardware costs Apple because they release it every year, you know, every three quarters in their quarterly statements. They tell you exactly how much profit they make, and it's 40%, which is outrageous. But
there
you know,
you go.
They're making a 40% profit on all their devices. So these things are hogwash. You know, they don't that $325 is not 60% max. I mean, it costs them somewhere near like I don't know what you know whatever what is 60% of $1,200. Well, whatever it is,
I have
it's
no
costing.
Idea.
You know, yeah.
I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to answer that.
Somewhere near like 700 would be much closer. That's how much it costs Apple, around $700, and even that is outrageous because you know the rest of it is going into you know Tim Cook's bank account.
Oh hey y'all, party time. Hey, I have no problem with Apple making fat stacks on those iPhones. I don't care if they make 70%.
Oh, it's ridiculous, and especially with the storage, it's like it should be like way cheaper to upgrade. You should be paying $50 per tier instead of $100 for each new tier of storage, I think. But
that's my problem.
Especially
because
Apple
is
can afford it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The tactic of neutering their lower-end model to push people into the mid model, that's the part that really grosses me out. I'm like, if you would just play fair. 112, 256, 512... That makes a lot of sense to me. That seems fair. Yeah. And that way, you know, you could get what you're paying for regardless of which model you buy.
Agreed.
Buster's with me.
Mm-hmm.
Were you gone last week, Buster?
Yeah, I was. Yep.
I wish you were here last week when I was making this tirade. Everyone was silent.
Well, here we are going through it again.
Well, I'm glad. And here you and I are, Irfan. We're like, oh, I wasn't going to upgrade, but now... I don't care how much it costs to make. I'm going to spend $1,200 on a new XS
Max. I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm not going to be happy about it. And I'm still going to bitch about it on the show.
I'm not going to like it.
I'm going to get AppleCare. I'm going to get a leather case. I'm going to buy one of those MacBook Pro leather sleeves for $300. But I'm not going to be happy about it. Damn you, Tim Cook. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi to us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Buster's BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Leander is at L. Caney. If you want to come join the club, the cult club, if you want to don your silk robe, your fez, and come join the community, I'll include a link to the new cult club, Governor's Lounge. I'll see you in there, hopefully in the next 24 hours, but you better act quick because I'm going to close that room down.
You should wait until Monday before closing it because some people don't get in until watch the show till Sunday.
Well, that's true, and those people are going to miss out big time.
Wow.
I would be more keen to jump in there if you open the floodgates a little bit.
We're going to open the floodgates for 24 hours. let people roll on in. Put on your fez. Put on your cult cast issued silk robe, and then we'll get to know each other. We'll open it up again in the future. Don't you worry. Okay. Let me see here. How do I even wrap up this show? That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Oh, no, I already did that. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys in the Governor's Lounge. Can I get a hey, Governor?
Hello, Governor.
There we go. That's the good stuff right there. That's the good stuff right there. Wow.
What is that?
That must be it.
I hear a little weird alien.
Oh, it's Buster's beard rubbing against the microphone.
What?
That's all. Yeah.
God. I thought it was on my internal mic.
It's either his beard or his chest hair because he's not wearing a shirt. So it could be either.
At least it's not nose hair.
Well, the beard blends into the nose.
Ugh. Full Yeti.
The women love that look, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Very tie some little bells from it.
Uh-huh.
Full Yeti.
Ding-a-ding-ding-ding.